You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
Amen, amen, amen. Awesome stuff. Thank you, music team. Thank you, everybody. Great to be on South Campus. Come on, somebody. This is awesome. What an awesome place. You know, these things don't just happen in a vacuum. They start because somebody began to pray. The things that we see always started in the unseen. The role of prayer and what happens as men and women and followers of Jesus Christ is our place for our world in which we live is to reach into the unseen that we can see in faith and pull it into existence. Too many men stop short of pulling it into being. So I want to talk about just a couple things today, and I thank God for a couple of people in particular that had a vision, something that nobody else saw when they came to America from Australia, and Pastor Leanne and Pastor Jurgen Mathesius. They are awesome. Would you just give them a hand? And amazing friends. I noticed he still spelled his last name wrong on the video, but that's okay. No, I'm teasing. Somebody just freaked out going, we spell it right. I told Pastor Drew we'd driving over, and Pastor Jurgen called me. And when we first met, I put his phone number in, and I totally misspelled his last name. And it's just still like that. Whatever. It's all good, right? And so I bring you greetings from the ministry that the Lord has put me as a steward of, Christian Men's Network, the Global Fatherhood Initiative. We're a human justice mission focused on defeating fatherlessness and ending child abuse. We're active in 104 nations of the world. And here's what's awesome. Here's what's awesome. It's all based out of a C3 church. Come on, somebody. Yeah! So stand proud, be loud. Amen. And so I am really honored to be here, Pastor Drew and Emma. You guys are so blessed. I mean, come on, somebody. Give them a hand. They are, Pastor Drew, give, come on, yeah. Man, you guys have a new house coming, right? Coming up the end of May? Oh, man. Listen, let me tell you something. This is a sidebar. Little sidebar. The book of Kings, one of the books, there's two of them. It's in one of them. Anyway, there's a woman whose husband has died, and her husband was part of a staff of a guy named Elisha. And he was one of the prophets, and he worked with him, and he died. And now this woman's got two kids. And they're about to be taken over because they can't pay their debts. And in those days, you would like actually, they would take her two sons and they would have to go work off the debt. Indentured servitude. And so she's distraught. So she shows up where Elisha is. And she says, hey, my husband was one of your guys, but we can't pay our bills. And Elisha yells back, what do you have in your house? It's amazing. In other words, what do you have in your hand? What a crazy thing to ask. Well, of course, we have nothing. We can't pay our bills. Right. Now, check this out. She thought she had nothing, but God took her nothing and made it something. She says, I've just got a little bottle of oil. Elisha goes, cool. God can work with whatever you have. So watch this. So she takes the, he says, take the oil, pour it into some jars, right? Anybody know this story? Yeah. Pour it into some jars, and the oil is not going to stop flowing. Get more jars and keep pouring it. And the oil was so valuable in that day and age that if she had a bunch of it, she could sell it, pay their debts off, and pay for them to live for a decade. So she says to her sons, go borrow jars, go get jars from the people. Now, this is a Middle Eastern village. Think about, in that culture, everything was in a jar. Everything was kept in these big jars. And so the boys go around, they start getting some, and they're bringing them, and she's pouring the oil, and the thing just keeps flowing, it keeps flowing. It's awesome. Watch this. And at one moment, one of the sons comes in, he says, I can't get any more jars. Can't get any more jars. No more jars. And the oil stopped flowing. Write this down. Because in that culture, everybody would have had jars. But what they didn't do is they weren't willing to give them.
Wow, come on.
And when the people stopped giving, the oil stopped flowing.
Ah, come on.
When the people stopped giving, the oil stopped flowing. And she lived under a diminished capacity. Everybody say capacity. That other people created in her world. And when you let other people create your world, they'll always create it too small. That's why the Word of God teaches us that He's our Father. Jesus said to pray this way. God, He said to pray our what?
Father.
Our what?
Father.
Our Father. God is neither male nor female. He is all-encompassing of all those traits. And the Bible says God is a spirit. So He gave us a picture, an image of who He is. I'm your Father. We talked about it this weekend on Friday morning, how so often that creates a dissonance for us, because it really speaks of somebody who bailed or somebody who left. But God wanted to say to us, to each one of us here in South, He wanted to say to us, I'm the Father who will never leave you. I'm the Father who's always there. I'm the Father who will affirm you. I'm the Father that provides security and discipline and love and affirmation. I'm that Father. And in our lives as men and women, when we look to Him as our Father, here's what a father does. Paul the Apostle said, he said this, he wrote this in a book to the church in Corinth, and he said this. He said, you have 10,000 instructors, but not many fathers. So 10,000 instructors, not many fathers. And he's trying to show them his position with them. Here's who I am to you. I'm not just an instructor, dude, I'm a father. Why? Because an instructor gives you what he knows, but a father gives you who he is. So what happens, I mean, think about this. Think about this. I mean, I'm a dad, three kids, and now five grandchildren. And Judy and I have been married 45 years. So you can I mean, that woman's a saint, amen? And she's a praying wife, no question. And so think about this. Think about it. If you taught somebody how to do something, they go out on a soccer field and they're playing football, and you watch them and you go, yeah, he didn't do that quite right. Oh, that one right there? Yeah, I taught him how to do that. An instructor gets jealous quite often if a student becomes better. But a father, a daddy says, dude, that's my kid, man. You mean the one who just did an own goal? Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. You know, he kicked it awesome. That's my kid, right? That's my boy. That's my daughter out there. See that high jump, man? That's my girl, man. Right? Come on. That's a daddy. That's a father. And because God's our Father, right? He didn't put a lid on our lives. So the reason the Word of God is so important for you and I to get it into our hearts, Proverbs 4 says, what's in your heart is what your life will become. Right? Proverbs 3 and 4 also says, get wisdom in your life. Get it in your heart. Psalm 119, verse 11, he says, the word I've hidden in my heart, so I will not sin against you. It's in our heart. Even biological sciences have proven that the heart has cell memory. Your deepest griefs and your highest highs are actually in the cells of your heart.
Wow.
They're actually kept there. And they filter through into your thinking, but they're in a subconscious. They become the filter that you think about things through. And so when the Word of God comes into our heart, God, our Father, takes the lid off. The world puts a lid on your life. The world says, oh, you grew up there? Oh, yeah. Then you're always going to be this. Oh, okay, that's the family you came from? Yeah, you're always going to be this. Yeah, you know, that's the school you went to, then you're this. That's the thing, that's where your background is. And we tend to put people in little boxes. And that is the earth and the world trying to contain you. But God releases us because he's a father that says, that's my kid. That's my boy. And you know what a father does when somebody falls down, when a little boy, little girl falls down? What do? You pick them up. It's like, this is my kid. It's all right. You know, it's good. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24 are a life scripture for me. And it says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. So everybody loves that, yes? Steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. But the next verse is my verse because it says, and when a man falls... When a man stumbles, when a man messes up, he says it will not be he will not be left on the ground, for the Lord will pick him up with his strong right arm. He's the Father who will always pick you up. Turn to somebody and say, this is good for you right now. This is good for you. And so love being here, love being with you. And I want to imprint something into our hearts right now that becomes part of your self-talk. Part of your definition. What you allow to define you will determine your destiny. We put it in these materials. Oh, I see we have some of the materials here, so that's good. This one, Power Potential, The Life of Joseph, How You Make Dreams Come to Pass. God is Our Father is the full expression of what I just talked about, and what some of the guys heard Friday morning. Bartender. It's the story of Nehemiah, who in the Bible says he was the cupbearer for the king. So I figure he was the king's bartender. So, right? There's two people who know everything about you. The person who cuts your hair and your bartender. All right? They know your whole story. All right, I know you don't have one. Okay. Anyway, just be real. Okay, be real. Everybody going to be real? So it's a book. It's about identity and about the fact that identity, write this down, identity is the story you tell yourself about yourself. And most of us are telling ourselves stories that other people wrote about us. Young man, his name's Gene Milstead. Gene just had his first little child, little boy. His middle name is Cole. His name is Alexander Cole. Because I was privileged to be able to be a mentor to Gene. He's a number 5 national salesman for AAA Insurance. And yet, years ago, you would say if anybody's ever going to mess up everything in his life, it'd be that guy. You know why? Because in third grade, at the start of third grade, a teacher who was calling roll said, oh, okay, Eugene Milstead, where's that? And Gene raised his hand. And she said, are you related to, and she named his older brother. Are you related to that guy? Yes, ma'am. She said, oh, great, another screw up in my class. Now listen, from third grade to the age of 27, he let that be his story. The Word of God releases us and sets us free from the stories that people have tried to put on us. Our story is Jesus. Our story is Jesus. Perfect life, died on a cross, went to the grave, defeated death, resurrected. That's our story. That becomes our identity. Followers of Christ, disciples. There's some other books here. Daring, a great book that my wife's husband wrote. And you don't want to talk about your own stuff, you know. It's like my wife's husband wrote a great book. And explain that to that guy right over there. And then Maximize Manhood, 5 Deadly Sins. Communication, Sex, and Money is a great resource. And it is what it talks about, communication, sex, and money. And the guys are like, hey, I need that book on sex and money. I go, no. It's communication, sex, and money. He goes, yeah, whatever. I go, no, not whatever. Because without communication, the other two don't happen. Can I get an amen? All right. So, just being real. You know, it reminds me of being an abuelo, being a grandfather. I love that, man. I got a little hashtag, love being papa, because that's what my grandkids call me. It's very cool. And the minute I get home, like tomorrow when they get out of school, I'll be like picking them up and going getting ice cream and stuff, you know, just messing them up, which is what grandparents are for. Can I hear it from the grandparents, you know? But it reminded me of the story of the little girl who went to her mom and said, "Mom, where do we come from?" And the mom said, "Oh, okay." She's a little 8-year-old girl. So, "Well, you know, God created us, and there was this beautiful garden, and there were angels, and there were flowers, and, you know, there were rainbows, and God came down and created man and woman." Wow, it's awesome. Well, as little children do, you know, the next week she goes to her dad. "Dad, hey, where do we come from?" Dad's like, "Well, there was some mud. And then protoplasm in the mud. Yeah, and then it got legs, and it crawled out and went to school." So the little girl comes to her mom, and she says, "Mom, you know, I'm confused. You told me that it was beautiful and there were flowers and all this. And I went to Daddy, and he's talking about mud and proto-something and all that." And Mom said to the little girl, she said, "Honey, don't worry about it. Your father was just talking about his side of the family." Love that story. See, we believe if we raise up strong men, we'll raise strong families. And strong families make strong churches. And Jesus said, "I'll build my what?" Help me out. "I'll build what?" "My church, and the gates of hell will not be able to defeat it." The church is God's change agent on the face of the earth. The church of Jesus Christ is his body. You know, sometimes people say, "Oh, I don't want to go to that church. They're not talking about it. The church is the body of Christ. Church is holy, special. We're involved in something that's going to change the future of the world out of this room. Touch the person next to you and say, "You're a world changer. You're a world changer." Let's put up Hebrews 13, verse 5. I want to read this. This is from our Father in heaven. "And our Father said this to you and I." And I want to read it starting with this part. "For he, God himself, has said." Do you see that? "For he, God himself, has said." Let the character. "For he, God himself." You see that over there? You guys, are you going to get to take this screen to the new building? Because that is an awesome. Dude, you know, just like they'll show up one day, it's like gone. You're like going, "Tony, where'd that screen come from?" "I don't know, man. Just showed up. New building. Just showed up." You know, because we know some people. Anybody know some people? All right, here we go. So, and then we'll get them saved. Get us a screen. Then we'll, okay. You ready? We're going to read this out loud and together. You ready? "For he, God himself." Everybody see that?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Go. "For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly not." Boom. Is that awesome? That's the Amplified Bible. That's not just about more words. That's the underlying meaning of what the original. In a lot of our Bibles, it just says, "And God says, I'll be there for you." And we have a tendency to humanize God, and "I'll be there for you" is kind of like the person who said, "I'll be there when you move." You know what I'm saying? You're moving from an apartment to another. "Hey, I'll be there." Anybody know that person? Don't point to them. Just like. Yeah, that's why I sit over here. But God said, listen, this is covenant. The three words, "I will not, I will not, I will not," are actually a word that's a legally based word. They would have known this in that language in those days. It means covenant. It's only used twice in the entire New Testament. And it means I make a legal covenant. I put a legal covenant in place to which I place myself under. In other words, God's word is only good, his name is only good because he keeps his word, right? So when your word is good, your name is good. That's why we talk to men about keeping their word, being men of integrity. Because when you keep your word, people trust your name. That's what happens in so many marriages when a man no longer keeps his word or teaches his family not to trust his word, then his wife no longer wants his name. Turn to somebody and just say, "You should have written that down. You should have put that in your phone." So that's our picture from God, our Father. You see, what we discovered as we begin to help churches disciple men and train men to be real men. And what I mean by that is a man who's a real man from the inside out, not the outside in. Religion always tried to change us from the outside in. Jesus changes our heart, and then we change on the outside. You see, the strength of a man is always on the inside first, then the outside. Too many men who are weak on the inside try to prove their strength on the outside. The weaker a man, the more dictatorial he is with his family. I'm dad, and I'm going to lay down the... Come on, somebody. Somebody's heard that before? You see, when you see more law, there's less love. Where there's less love, there's more law. Discipline is always an act of love. Show me an undisciplined child, and I'll show you a child who's not loved. So that's why, as fathers, we discipline our children because we love them. No athlete who wants to be great hates his body, so he disciplines himself because he hates himself. He disciplines himself because he wants to be good at what he does. So we discipline our children. In fact, let me give you something, because if I don't do this, I'll be in trouble. How many of us guys know there's a point system? Well, we don't know how it works. Right? We just know when we lost them. We're like, dude, how, what? How? What? So, come on, am I being too real? Is that too real? So my wife last night on the phone, I was telling her about the weekend and stuff. She says, you have to talk about the calendar. I said, well, baby, it's not. She goes, okay, we're not going to talk about it anymore. Just talk about that. Done. And so let me show you something. Watch this. Let me show you something. This is this calendar. I know it's old school. It's actual paper. You guys remember that? Remember paper? Paper was awesome. I think paper's on its way back. All right, so watch this. May the 11th. When I bought this last year, I went to May the 11th, went to a number of different dates, and I wrote down what was going to happen on May the 11th this year, May the 11th, and nothing touches that date because it's my youngest grandchild, Grayson. It's his first birthday. So my whole schedule is built around that. So, man, here's the word. Build your personal calendar first before you build your business calendar. Oh, all the ladies are like, amen. Come on, somebody. See, most pastors are taught how to preach sermons, not how to disciple men. So most men are taught how to listen to sermons, not how to study the Word of God. So we've raised a generation in America of biblically illiterate men. And illiterate most often becomes illegal. Wow. Leans into it. And so that's why I appreciate this church, Pastor Juergen, your leadership, Pastor Drew, because they are committed to discipling men and women, to be disciples, to be trained, to be different. To not, you see, when you put a seed into the ground, you don't expect that seed to become dirt. You expect it to produce the DNA of what's in the seed. So a person who's discipled is a seed in culture. When you take a man who's discipled and put him into culture, he doesn't become the culture. Because he has within him the DNA of the king. Come on, somebody. So when a man's discipled, he learns to accept responsibility, to say, no matter if there needs to be a man, I'll be the man. I am that man, right? I am that man. You need somebody to stand up? I'll stand up. We had 9 years ago, had a young man that had gone through our course in outside of Jakarta, Indonesia. And Indonesia is made up of a number of islands, and he lived on one of those islands. Went through the course, learned what it was to be a covenant man, learned what it was to be a man who committed to his word, committed to his covenant, and accept responsibility. Let's put that photo up if you have it. This young man was away at work on a weekend, and on a Sunday morning in this part of Indonesia, the jihadists came in and began to burn the church. burned it down on a Sunday morning, just like we're gathered here. People began to run for their lives, and they stood outside with machetes, began to cut them. And then they captured many of them and took them away. It took approximately 18 months to find out where the hostages were, what had happened to them, and then work a plan and a deal to get them back and get them rescued. That man was waiting for his wife and daughter because his wife and daughter were two of the captives that were captured and taken away for 18 months. The boat comes up to the dock, everybody rushes out, and that man rushes out to the dock looking for his wife and daughter. He doesn't see them. One of the guys comes up and says, "Brother, I need to tell you something." So what's that? He says, "Your wife and daughter aren't on the boat. You see, your wife became the sex slave for the head of the jihadists when she was captured. And she's had a little baby. And rather than bring shame to you and rather than bring something bad on your name, we dropped her off at her father's village, and they're going to take care of the baby, take care of her. And she said for you to go on with your life." And he said, "No, I'm a man of covenant. She's my wife. I'm a man of my word. I gave my word. I'm a stand-up man. That's my wife and daughter." He went to the village. Tony, he went to the village and began to cry out his wife's name, call her out, try to figure out where the whole village started coming out. They knew the story. The father came to the front of door of that hut, and he stood there, and he said, "You need to leave. You need to go. We'll take care of my daughter. We'll take care of the babies. You go." He said, "No, that's my wife." And he pushed the man out of the way. Grabbed the little baby that was in her arms. Looked at her through tears. Said, "You're my wife. I love you with my whole heart and everything that I am. And this little baby is my baby." That happened 9 years ago. 2 years ago, this picture was taken, and that little 7-year-old girl in the striped sweater is that baby, that little girl. Why? Because a man was willing to say, "I'm a man of covenant." We need men like that in our world today. Men who will stand up and say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Men of courage, men of honor, men of integrity, men of perseverance. We need some stand-up men. Come on, somebody. That's why we're here in this place. That's why we do what we do. That's why men show up at 5:30, because there's some little boy and some little girl whose daddy came home from Emerge Weekend and changed the whole future. I saw men who had been saved at a campfire on Friday night running with their sons through that rites of passage, who had just gotten saved the night before, cheering his boys, going, "Come on!" Boom! That's what it's about right there. So I want to put something into our mind and spirit over the next few moments that I pray in your self-talk will become imprinted in your mind. You see, we speak about 150 words a minute. We can read at about 180 words a minute, but our self-talk is screaming along at about 400 words a minute. Wow. In other words, while I'm talking, you're also talking to yourself. You're going, "Yeah, that was good, and then I need a babysitter for Tuesday night." "Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, way to go. Yeah, oh man, I need to call that guy tomorrow morning." Or, "Dude, where are we going to eat afterwards? I don't know. Let me think about this. If I'm going to be the man, I better know where we're going." Right? Self-talk. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And the problem is, too many of us, that self-talk has defeating words in it. It has things in it that other people have said to us, like my friend Gene. "You'll never be anything. You'll always be in the margins. You'll never do anything good. If you have any luck at all, it'll be bad luck."
Come on.
Right? And that self-talk screams. I've heard guys, I've been on, there's a really stupid game called golf. It's like they called it golf because they ran out of other four-letter swear words. And I like going out and doing that. But the fact is, where was I going with that, dude? I was like, got on that thing. I was somewhere. I don't know. Just be nice to him. He's an old white guy. He's a nice guy. Self-talk, that was it. I've heard guys on the golf course. See, it comes back. I just got too many tabs open. That's my issues. Like, it's when you get older, it's like, it's not, you don't get slower, you just got too many tabs open, man. It's got like a hard drive's thick with stuff. And I've heard guys say to themselves, miss a putt and say, you idiot. Wow. I've heard people say to themselves in the grocery store, man, that was a stupid thing. Man, you're, and that self-talk can be defeating. Now, I want to imprint something into our self-talk right now. When I say I am, you say right now. I am.
Right now.
Come on, I am.
Right now.
Say it loud. I am.
Right now.
I am right now. I want that imprinted on us. Write it down. Put it in your phone. Put it on something. Email it to yourself. I am right now. Here's the context, and I want to give you the scripture. Context is something that Pastor Juergen preached on, you know, yesterday. I mean, Rob Carman. Dude, what a communicator. Pastor Juergen, what a communicator. And then after those two guys speak, then I got to speak. Dude, it was like being a pair of brown shoes on a tuxedo. You know, it was like, all right, here we go. Let's just do this thing. And then we can go eat. The faster I get done, the faster we eat. Come on, somebody. And amazing communicators. And Pastor Juergen yesterday afternoon talked about Lazarus and Jesus. Lazarus and Jesus were best friends. It's a guy, in fact, they were such close friends that Jesus said, I'm not going to make you a disciple because I need somebody to hang out with. Right? I mean, they're sitting around having a glass of wine and he's going, dude, you should have seen Peter last week on a lake, man. It was like, Lazarus is going, really? Yeah, it was awesome. You know, he's just chilling. He's got a guy he can chill with. That's Lazarus. They're best friends. He's got two sisters named Mary and Martha, right? Anybody know this? These guys? They live in Bethany. It's just a few miles outside of Jerusalem. And Mary and Martha, and by the way, Martha gets a little bit of a bad rap. Everybody talks about being Mary, love Jesus. She was kind of the, she was the more, you know, romantic one. She was the more ooey, you know, whatever girly thing. And Martha was like, we have to get this done. She's a list person, right? Now check it out. So I've heard all these sermons about don't be a Martha, be a Mary. You know, love Jesus. And I'm like, dude, if you're trying to build a business or build a church, who do you want? You want Martha. Come on, somebody. It's here for the Marthas. So he's got these two sisters, and Jesus is nearby, and Lazarus gets sick, and boom, overnight, he's dead. And Mary and Martha had sent word to Jesus, hey, your best friend is about to die. You need to show up. And Jesus is like, no, I'm cool. No, you need to show up. No, it's good. And he doesn't show up for 4 days. In fact, his own disciples are saying to him, because they're like, dude, you blew it, but they don't want to say anything because you're like the Messiah. Right? It's like, no, you screwed that one up, but... You want to say something? No, I don't say, he's the Messiah, man. And so what they say is, hey, maybe he's sleeping. And Jesus is like, no, he's dead. He's dead. You read the whole thing, he's dead. So he shows up 4 days later. It's interesting, in the Jewish context, the soul stays in a body for 3 days. So on the fourth day, he's fully dead. It's interesting. That's where the 4 days comes from. Shows up. And look at this scripture. Look at this scripture. If we have it, let's put it on the screen. This is really cool. It's in John chapter 11, St. John chapter 11, verse 21. And in the Message translation, Martha goes out. Martha's not happy. And Martha goes out to meet Jesus. She's like, if you had been here, look at this. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. She's like, you can be Messiah, whatever. I don't care that my brother's dead, dude. She's upset. And then the next verse, look at this. It says, Jesus said, your brother will be raised up. Next one. And she says, yeah, I know, like at the end of time, not right now. Watch this. Here's what Jesus says. You don't have to wait for the end. Come on, somebody. Jesus says, I am what? I am what? He says, I am what?
I am.
Right now, resurrection and life. The one who believes in me, even though he or she dies, will live. And everyone who lives believing in me does not ultimately die at all. Do you believe this? In other words, I am, come on somebody, I am right now the resurrection and the life. Jesus looked at Martha and says, I am right now. And he says, get the stone out of the way. He calls Lazarus forward. And it's the same thing that God's said to you and me. I am right now the resurrection and the life. You don't have to wait to the end. You don't have to wait to the end of your story. Here I am. Come on, everybody, stand up. I am what? I am what? I am right now. Everyone stand up with me. I'm right now the resurrection and the life. And he calls Lazarus out of darkness into light, out of despair into hope. What Jesus has done for you and I right now, here in this place, is take us from bondage to freedom, from being messed up to being followers of Christ, from despair to love. I'm loved. Somebody loves me. He's my Father. There are some of us here right now, when I say that, you go, man, I don't know. I don't know if I'm even connected into that. You see, every promise that's in this Bible belongs to those who are followers of Christ. Every single promise is yours. But if you're not a follower of Christ, if not connected into God through Jesus Christ, not one of these promises is active in your life. You can put Psalm 23 on your refrigerator 5 times, and it's still not yours until you become a follower of Christ. Right now, Pastor Drew is going to come and pray, and we have this amazing opportunity for Jesus to become I am right now in our lives. Would you bow your heads and let's pray together? Father, I thank you for this word that comes from your word. I thank you, you're the God who's always there. You're the God who never leaves us. You're the God who cares about us. You're the God who says, I am your Father. And then Jesus says, I am right now. We know those words come from you. So, Father, for some of our friends right now going through difficult times, or some of those who feel like, I don't know if I'm connected, Lord, I thank you that right now, you can become alive in their lives. Would you keep your heads bowed and pray with Pastor Drew as he leads us?
Come on, what an amazing message. What a word. Maybe you're standing here today and that word was for you. Maybe you're not walking with Jesus right now. Maybe at one point in your life you were walking with Jesus, but for whatever reason you've gone off that pathway. Today, I want you to reconnect with God. I want someone to pray with you before you leave today. So we're going to dismiss this service in just a few moments' time. But if that word was for you today, if you need prayer for salvation, or if you just need prayer for anything at all, our ministry team's just over here by this exit door here, Tyler, and there's a team of people that want to pray with you. And we dismiss the service in a few minutes' time. I would love for you to go and pray with them. They're going to pray with you, give you a gift, give you a Bible. Be awesome. Don't leave here today if you're not walking with Jesus today. Come on, this is your day. Amen. Amen, church. Amen. Let's give it up one more time. That was something. That was something. Are you going to do that same message at the 12 p.m.? You can? I think maybe there's someone that you need to text right now and say, hey, you've got 36 minutes to get out of bed. Put some clothes on, preferably, and get to church. Get them to church. Get them here. Get them here for the 12 p.m. It's going to be incredible. But just grab a seat real quickly before we go. We always do this. I love the fact that we do this as a church, but we're going to take up a love offering to bless Pastor Paul this morning. And I know for me, I'm just going to give on the app right now. I might even just do it while I'm talking to you. But the ushers are going to come around in just a moment and pass the buckets around. I encourage you to give. I want you to bless. Come on, if you got something out of the word today, I want you to bless Pastor Paul. Bless him as he goes back to his hometown of Texas. We want to bless him. Because I'm telling you, if you honor those that come, I'm telling you, there's something powerful in that. So the ushers are going to pass the buckets right now. They already have started passing the buckets. You can give on the app, or you can give online, or you can give with a giving slip. If you need a few minutes to fill that out, that's fine. You can go ahead and do that. And after service, just make sure you get to, the ushers are going to have the buckets at the door too on the way out if you need a few minutes to fill out that giving slip there. Amen. What a weekend, man. What a weekend. How good was that? Travis, great job, man. Who loves Travis? Where's Christian gone? Christian, oh, there he is, Christian. Christian and Tony, I'm telling you, they're the two, the core team members for the Emerge Men's Ministry. They represent sort of Emerge Men at South Campus. I want to give them just a bit of honor right now as we finish up the service. I'm telling you, they are two of the greatest guys you'll ever meet. So faithful, so faithful. You know, they relentlessly serve, build the church as volunteers. Some weeks they probably pull in 10, 20 hours just building the church. No one sees them doing it behind closed doors. Just incredible men, leaders. It's awesome. Come on, let's thank him one more time. And let's thank all our captains one more time. Let's thank all our men one more time. Pastor Paul, let's thank him one more time. What a day.